Hello, this is Pastor Tom Pickens of Antelope Valley Christian Center, and you are listening to The Word of Victory.
No excuses, just results. Okay? Period. No excuses, just results. Go to John chapter 5, verse 2. If I'm teaching like I'm mad, it's because I am. Because I hate excuses, and too many people suffer from that airborne disease called excuse-itis. And it just bothers me when I see it trying to get a parent in my life. So the Holy Spirit, every time excuses try to rise up and start complaining about stuff in life, I just say, Tommy, no excuses, just results. Get results. You don't have time to talk about excuses and things of that nature. So if that's why I'm a little huffy-puffy, it's because I want to get you to where I am. Is that all right? John chapter 5, verse 2. And this was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And now in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool, which is called Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. And these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting on the moving for the water. For an angel went down, and at a certain time in the pool, the angel would come. And after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had, whoever stepped in. Verse 5 says, now there was a certain man, everybody say a certain man, that was there who had an infirmity and a problem for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? The sick man answered him and said, sir, I have no one to put me in the pool. But when the water is stirred and I am coming, another one steps before me. Go ahead and close your eyes. I want to pray. Father, I thank you and praise you for your word. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for who you are and what you've done. I thank you, Lord, that today we will realize that we are leaving from the realm of excuses and getting results in our life. I thank you and praise you, Lord, that everybody that hears this word today will come out of the prison of excuses, and we will see that we are the captain of our lives. And Lord God, you're the director and the producer. So I thank you, Lord God, that we will see the areas where we need to get rid of excuses in our lives, and we'll just start doing it. And you said, be doers of the word and not hearers only. So I think that the person that walked in would not be the person that walks out. In Jesus' name, amen. That wasn't a magic trick. I just wanted to come down here and speak to you guys a little bit. The reason I stopped where I stopped was because Jesus asked this guy, do you want to be made well? And what did he do? He gave an excuse. So let's go back up to John chapter 5, verse 2. And I've taught on this passage so many. I feel like I'm going old school today because I got my old school Bible. There's no iPad. I've had this Bible, dude, when I was in ministry school at Rhema. This Bible I got is the Dr. Price commemorative deal from a long time ago. Man, I've taught so many messages in the Bible. So, you know, when you got your old school, it's your thing that you're comfortable with. Like, I'm like, man, it's about to be crazy today. I got my old school Bible, like everything that's highlighted. You know, you feel like it's a different anointing on that type stuff. And so, Spirit of Brother Hagin just might come up on me. But I've taught this message so many times, and it trips me out how you get caught up in life and just going on different things. And then you step back and you realize, man, a lot of the things that I've done has been awesome. And so as I'm going through this passage, I'm like, man, I've taught many angles from this verse. But I remember Apostle Price taught us that the Word of God is always pregnant to new revelations. And the Word of God is kind of like a diamond where it has many facets, where you think you've seen one verse. You think you know one verse, but there's so many different angles and intricacies to a verse and to a passage where it just blows my mind when I see it. And so I'm so excited because I found something new. Now, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. God knows everything, but he'll reveal some things to you that you didn't know when you remain open. So don't come in like you act like you know it all when you've seen a certain passage. So there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is in Hebrew called Bethesda, having five porches. Now, I'm an examinator. I like to examine things. So check this out in verse 3. And these lay a great multitude. Okay, we may not be mathematicians, but I know a great multitude means a lot of people. It's a great multitude. It's thousands and hundreds, and it's more than just a few. So we got a lot of people, but what kind of people? Sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. So I want to center in right here on verse 3, because I've never really understood this passage the way I understood it when I was studying it. And when I was reading these, it seemed like the Holy Spirit said, what causes these issues? Everybody's got all these issues. And excuse me for being blunt. I'm just saying what I say. But in my opinion, around America and around the world, Sundays, when folks come into church, it's the biggest costume party around. Because everybody masks what they're going through, so others don't see what they're going through. So as a result, I'm going to throw on a mask. It just is what it is. I've been able to see a lot in 30 years, and I've realized that when we start to take the mask off, then we can get help from God who wants to give us help. And so these people that are laying, and it's a great multitude, they're sitting there. They're like, look, I am not even going to put my mask on. I am hurting. I'm lame. I'm blind. I'm paralyzed. And I'm sick. And you can't fully get healed, or you can't really address the situation until you first acknowledge the fact that you have the problem. I didn't even plan on going this way, but I just am. We live in a top model society. I don't even know if that show is still on, but it's a top model society where everybody wants to cover up. When God wants to deal with what is underneath so that it can become exposed and God can help you. And so these people were sitting and they were like, look, I really don't even care what you're going through. I just know what I'm going through, and I'm waiting for something. And as a result, this great multitude lay here by these five porches called Bethesda. And it's a great multitude of people that do not care what the other person thinks. And the problem with my generation, number one, is we care too much of what other people think about us. I don't know why, it's just the society and the generation that we've been born into. And I will illustrate this extremely well right now. If we're in the mall right now and you're walking, all of a sudden you trip and you really hurt your ankle, you don't tend to your ankle. The first thing you do is what? You look around to see who saw you fall. Because you're so concerned about not looking cool or losing some swag points. You're like, oh, good, dog. Straight, just... I mean, you look down, you're just so scared that somebody just saw you fall. And you're hurting. And what God is saying is, don't even care about what people around you think. All that matters is what I think, and I love you. So these people, they were sitting there as a great multitude. And what causes these issues? What causes sickness? What causes people to be blind? And when I see blind, I see people not seeing correctly. People that don't see God correctly. People that don't see life correctly. And what's involved with life? I think people that don't see finances correctly, so they stay broke and poor. People that don't see relationships correctly, so they don't have good friends and great relationships. And people that are just that are strung out, they don't see life correctly. And God is saying that there's a multitude there, and these people are sick, they're blind, they're lame, and then paralyzed. Paralyzed means that you're not going anywhere. I think of people that have been in a car accident, and then they're a quadriplegic, like the guy that was Superman. I forgot his name. Christopher Reeve. And he was paralyzed for the rest of his life. I mean, we saw that. You saw him with the trachea thing, and he couldn't move. And people would just look at him. And looking at that image and me just saying it probably brought back a pictorial image of him just... You just look at him, you just feel sorry. It's like he can't even move. He can't even go anywhere. He can't even enjoy life. He's in a wheelchair, and naturally, he's not going to be able to enjoy the rest of his life. And so Jesus sees that, and he sees people that are paralyzed. And you don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to tell me. But as I'm speaking, what areas are you paralyzed in your life? And when I say paralyzed, I mean you're not even moving. I mean, you guys know I'm in the process of finishing the book on depression that'll be set to publish this year. And as I've been writing that book, and as I've gone through different bouts of depression and interviewed people that have gone through it, I talk about the dungeon, and I taught that message on the dungeon. And a lot of people, they go back to the dungeon, and the dungeon, it represents where you want to escape reality, whether it be drugs, whether it be a certain addiction or whatever. You want to escape reality. But the only problem with that is that you're really paralyzed. And all depression 100% stems from disappointment. And disappointment is a dashed expectation. A disappointment is the gap that exists between expectation and reality. I expected to be here in my life, but as a result, reality says that I'm here. And so as a result, I'm disappointed. And it's okay to be disappointed, but it's what you do after disappointment. See, it's not what happens to you, but rather how you respond. A lot of people play the victim mentality, and I've been guilty of doing that. I majored in the victim mentality. I have a PhD in the victim mentality. Look at what happened to me. Why did this happen? And when you leave the victim mentality and you leave the realm of trying to understand everything, then you're able to be with the group that laid in a multitude that didn't care that I'm paralyzed. Hey, look, I'm paralyzed, and I need to see that I'm paralyzed in this area of my life. Why am I not promoting on my job? I'm paralyzed here because my work ethic is terrible. I come in late, and then I leave early. And I'm paralyzed in my life. And I want to move forward in my relationship with my kids, but I don't take the time to invest in them. And we have a crappy relationship, and they don't even come to me for advice, whether I'm 20, 30, or I'm 80. And as a result, that relationship is paralyzed. And I want to travel. I want to take my family on vacations. I want to enjoy the good, great, ideal life that God has for me. But as a result, I'm paralyzed in my life. So you will never move from being paralyzed like Christopher Reeve unto getting to where you can run until you lay in this multitude of great people and acknowledge that you have a problem. But see, it's okay to have problems, and it's okay to have mess, because we have the mess taker outer. That word doesn't exist, but we just made it up for now. And see, what happens is the thing that I like about these people is those people are the true leaders. That's why when we have an invitation and folks come down to the front, and I'm like, man, you guys should be cheering and rejoicing. And then I tell the people that have come down, you are an actual leader in your life, because you realize that, hey, I have a spiritual need and I have a spiritual problem, and you obviously will meet that need. So as a result, I'm going to push past fear, and I'm going to move to get where I need to get. See, I acknowledge that I have an issue, and when I acknowledge that I have an issue, I can therefore open myself up to receive the solution and meet the messer, taker, outer. But here's the thing. A lot of percentage of the people in the world or in the church, they never come and lay in this multitude. And they never say, you know what, I'm blind in this area. I don't see finances correctly. So as a result, I don't tithe, because I always grew up thinking that I have to keep everything that I have. So you just don't understand the laws of giving and receiving, but you don't understand that God wants to receive from you to give to you. And you don't understand different things. So what happens is, as a result, you're blind. And until you sit down and see, you know what, I have a problem. I have an issue. I have a pornography issue. I have a smoking addiction. I have an anger issue. I have a fear problem because of several things. And as a result, it doesn't matter how we got there. A lot of people spend too much time, man, how did I get here? I just can't believe how I got here. I thought I was doing everything right. And then smack, this happened. And I don't know how I got. You have spent too much time, energy, concerned about something that already is. When you need to be spending time figuring out how to get out of where you are. And what happens is, a lot of people go in a circle. They're like a rocking chair. They spend a lot of energy, but they go nowhere. That's the definition of worry. You spend a lot of time worrying and concerned, but you go absolutely nowhere, and you're wasting time and you're wasting your life. And the most important asset that we have in this life is time. And it's not money, because money you can get back, but time you just can't. And so as a result, guys, we have these open wounds and we have these hurts because of a loved one that passed away. And we can't fully trust God because some idiot said that God took your friend or he took your loved one, when God never takes. God is the giver. We just happen to live in a world where there is a thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But God said that I have come to give you life, and that life more abundantly. So am I going to make an excuse, or am I going to get a result? Am I going to sit here for 30 years and figure out why this person was hurt or taken out? Or am I going to spend the next 30 years hopping out of that situation, moving on to what God has for me? Because, excuse me, Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans and the thoughts that I have for you." Thoughts not to mess up, not to be caught off guard, But no, I have thoughts to prosper you and to give you an expected end and a future. And we think that when things happen in our life that it catches God off guard. But I'm here to tell you, nothing catches God off guard, because he's omniscient, he's omnipotent, and he's omnipresent. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the top and not the bottom. And he said in Genesis 1:26-28 that I have made man in my image. In other words, I don't manufacture losers. So why are you acting like a loser, giving excuses when I never give excuses and I never give up? God said that my DNA is placed spiritually in you. And where you go, I go. And where you walk, I walk. And whatever you bind on earth, I bind in heaven. And whatever you allow on earth, I allow in heaven. That Brother Hagin and Norton's creeping up. And he said that it is I that have come to give life. Now check this out. Jesus did not say, it is I that have come to give excuses. It is I that have come to be caught off guard and not know where your life is supposed to go. It is I that have come to give life and life more abundantly. So as we continue to look at this passage and we move past verse 3, at the end of verse 3, it says that these people were waiting for the moving of the water. But you got to think, what were they waiting on? And what specifically were they waiting for? And my question to you is how will you know when it comes if you haven't painted the target? How do you know that your help has come? How do you know that person you're looking for has come? How do you know that job that you're looking for has come, or that business idea has come to you and it's come? How do you know that it has come if you haven't even painted the target? And I believe that God has said, use your imagination and paint the target so when it comes, you'll know. Some people wait on nothing and they get it every time. Some of these people that are blind, lame, paralyzed, they're sitting there and they don't even know what they're waiting on. You probably came up to one of them like, hey, dog, you blind, you lame. Yeah, I got both of those, dog. But what are you waiting for? I don't know, man. I mean, I'm just here because everybody else is here, you know? Follower. I want to do what everyone else does, and I don't even know why I'm doing it. I taught last Saturday to the young adults, and I said, why do you guys do what you do? When I got my bachelor's degree in business, they taught us what to learn, and when I got my master's in business, and I'm finishing up, they taught us how to learn, how to think, what to do, what drives the industry. Don't just be in the industry and play the game. Learn the game and control the game. So I said, I said, number one, why do you guys do what you do? Half of them couldn't even tell me. I was like, do you live your life for others? Do you live your life for yourself? Or do you not even care? Some of them just raised their hands like, why do you do that? I don't know. I just do it. Because you're not thinking. So why are you here? And I'd ask one of these person, why are you're playing? What are you waiting for? I don't know. I don't know what I'm waiting for. Okay, I'm gonna pass on. So then this guy's like, well, what are you waiting for? Well, I'm waiting something that's going to help me get out of the condition that I'm in. Okay, now we can work with you, because we realize that you want to move. But if you desire nothing, then you'll get it every time. In verse 5. Says, now a certain man was there who had an infirmity for 38 years. So now out of this whole crowd of people, we're zeroing in on somebody. And that's why when we read that, I said, say certain, because there's a certain man that had this infirmity for 38 years. I don't know about you, but gosh, that's a long time. That's even longer than I've been alive. For this man to be blind or lame or paralyzed or have this issue for 38 years, he was paralyzed. He couldn't go anywhere for 38 years. So we're getting ready to read where Jesus is getting ready to walk by this guy. And a lot of people always ask, well, is it the will of God for Jesus to heal people? I don't know. You tell me, because we're reading the word. Verse 6. When Jesus saw him lying there, he knew, because he's omniscient, that he had already been in that condition a long time. Not for a second, but for a long time. Some of y'all was like, that is me. And I'm here to tell you that you qualify.
The Word of Victory has been brought to you by Antelope Valley Christian Center, which is pastored by Dr. Tom Pickens. We are located at 304 West Lancaster Boulevard in Lancaster. For more information about Antelope Valley Christian Center, call 661-949-7200 or visit us on the web at avccusa.org.